This is Lennon Mishi from the Anti-Slavery Knowledge Network, community-led strategies for creative and heritage-based interventions in sub-Saharan Africa. We are funded through the Arts and Humanities Research Council and the Global Challenges Research Fund to explore how approaches from the arts and humanities can address contemporary forms of enslavement by adopting a community-engaged human rights focus that delivers development impacts. In this podcast, we discuss some of the commissioned work that has been produced through the Anti-Slavery Knowledge Network and their collaborating partners.
Hi, my name is Lennon. I am a postdoc on the Anti-Slavery Knowledge Network, and we're here in Kenya, Nairobi, and I'm sitting here with Willis. From the Anglican Development Services. Would you like to introduce yourself and the project?
Well, my name is Willis Okumu. I am the principal investigator in the project From Hope to Despair, experiences of young people on human trafficking networks in Kenya. And this project is, we're conducting it in about 10 counties in Kenya. And basically what we are doing is to capture the human stories of people who have been affected by human trafficking. And this may not necessarily be the people really involved directly, victims or survivors, as you want to call it, but also their family members. We are also very keen to talk to government people and also the community structures that could be able to support issues of prevention. Yes.
Mm. What would you say have been some of the key highlights of the work so far, and conversely, challenges as well?
Well, if you were to look at the key highlights, one of the things that has really amazed me is the level of normalization, the fact that a lot of trafficking seems to go on at the very basic level, at the village level, at the community level. And people are aware that so-and-so disappeared or so-and-so went abroad and came back paralyzed or something like this.
Mm-hmm.
But it ends there. You know, there seems not to be consciousness to escalate these kind of discussions to a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I could note is that I worked a lot at the Kenyan-Ugandan border, and trafficking that happens cross-border, local but cross-border, because most of these communities are very culturally close in terms of language and culture and practices. So trafficking that happens from one village across the border to the other,
mm-hmm.
for sexual exploitation, for labor and stuff like that, seems to be very, very high. And we never imagined that we'd encounter something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at the challenges, I would talk about, one, the fact that we have to work with security agencies.
Mm.
And most of the time, one, the people who are supposed to be conscious of the law are not aware of the law. And therefore, in many cases, they dismissed us, saying, no, human trafficking doesn't exist.
Mm.
Yeah, so the issue of awareness, even at that level is very minimal. But also you could talk about just the challenge of getting people to talk about their own personal traumatizing experience. That has been very heavy.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, one can imagine that having gone through very difficult circumstances, the retelling of those stories is never going to be easy.
Yeah.
I mean, how have you seen the sort of arts and humanities-based approaches that you've been utilizing in this project, you know, being useful? I mean, have they done what you had imagined they would? Or, you know, what alternative approaches have you adopted or
to adopt? In many cases, we wanted to do was to capture human stories. So we used a lot of, social science methods, ethnographies and all that. And in a big way, we captured a lot of stories, and but there were cases where we realized that we could not, you know, use the set of questions that we had, or we'd walk into a meeting and find, you know, a very different environment that you cannot really approach it in, through an FGD or something like that. So in many cases, it called for a bit of what I would call street smartness, in the sense that you'd want to talk to people who maybe are not willing to listen to you, but you have to give them an entry point that for example, from a story that they would relate with. So most of the stories that we've collected in previous field sites have helped us to open new gates, if you are to say it,
yeah,
you know, so that we can be able to engage,
yeah,
you know, with different audiences.
Yeah. What alternative methods or approaches would you be looking at using? I know there's been conversations around sort of visual,
yeah,
and sort of performance methods in sort of different kinds of projects. What other
approaches? For me, there are things, the kind of methods that I would like to use going forward. One would be theatre.
Yeah.
Because I think in many cases, if you want to talk to young people,
yeah,
you have to find something that draws them. And I've seen community groups that use theatre to dramatize the whole issue of trafficking and how somebody, you know, gets into a destitute situation. And it draws a lot of emotion. It communicates to young people. And that's something that we would want to use. Another one will be animation. We are at a level now where we have, you know, collected enough stories, I would say, and we want to use some of these stories to further communicate,
yes,
through animation, and using the Kenyan law, for example, to kind of try and create stories that people can relate with.
Yes.
Yeah.
And going forward, what kinds of support do you think would be enabling, you know, whether it's support to upscale the processes and impact of your work, or support to engage with different stakeholders?
What is key from our own experience is that we would need support to be able to upscale the output of our research into policy. And because this is what we felt, that one of the biggest weaknesses to our, you know, to the whole human trafficking situation in Kenya is the lack of a strong policy framework that can be able to address these issues. So for us, it would be important that our next stage would be to contribute to issues of policy through the research that we have, and that could mean, you know, engagements with stakeholders at different levels, so that the issue that we would have identified can be able to be addressed, you know, at the macro level.
Yeah. Any other key takeaways for you from either the work that you've been doing, this specific engagement with other projects, or just in general?
One of the things that is very key and that runs across most of our experiences so far is the level of connection between village level trafficking to somebody in the town, to somebody in the city, to somebody abroad. So I think when you're trying to address issues of trafficking, then you have to be very conscious of the multi-layeredness of the problem, and therefore the effort to address trafficking must also have that multi-layered approach.
Yes,
and this is the effort that we can all then pull together.
Yeah. Willis, thank you so much for taking time to talk to us.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Unslavery Knowledge Network podcast, Creative Paths to Freedom. For more information on the work that the network is doing, please find us on Twitter, Instagram, and our page on the University of Liverpool website.